Hello and welcome to episode 837 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. It is my pleasure to be with you this morning. My name is Terrence M. Stanton. We are recording on St. Joseph's Day. A very happy St. Joseph's Day to you. It is Tuesday, March 19th, 2024, in the year of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let us begin with the Tuesday prayer by the great saint and doctor of the church, Alphonsus Liguori, to the Blessed Virgin Mary, to obtain a good death. O Mary, how shall I die? Even now that I think of my sins and of that decisive moment on which my salvation or eternal damnation depends, of that moment in which I must expire and be judged, I tremble and am confounded. O my most sweet mother, my hopes are in the blood of Jesus Christ and in thy intercession. O comfortress of the afflicted, do not then abandon me. Cease not to console me in that moment of so great affliction. If I am now so tormented by remorse for sins committed, the uncertainty of pardon, the danger of relapse, and the rigor of divine justice, what will become of me then? Unless thou helpest me, I shall be lost. Ah, my lady, before death obtain me great sorrow for my sins, thorough amendment and fidelity to God during the remainder of my life. And when my last moment arrives, O Mary, my hope, help me in the great distress in which I shall then be. Encourage me that I may not despair at the sight of my sins, which the devil will place before me. Obtain that I may then invoke thee more frequently, so that I may expire with thy most sweet name and that of thy beloved Son on my lips. Nay, more, my lady, but forgive my boldness. Before I expire, do thou come thyself and comfort me with thy presence. Thou hast granted this favor to so many of thy devout servants. I also desire and hope it. I am a sinner, it is true. I do not deserve so great a favor, but I am thy servant, love thee, and have full confidence in thee. O Mary, I shall expect thee. Do not disappoint me of this consolation. At least if I am not worthy of so great a favor, do thou help me from heaven, that I may leave this life loving God and thee, to love thee eternally in paradise. And now for one of our prayers for the conversion of the Jews. O God, who dost also manifest thy omnipotence by mercy and compassion, listen to the prayers we offer up for the enlightenment of the unbelieving, perfidious Jews, that they may acknowledge the light of thy truth, which is Christ, and may be saved from their blindness. Grant, we beseech thee, all-powerful God, that the remnant of the Jewish people may walk in the way of salvation, and by following the preaching of the blessed John, thy precursor, they may safely come to him whom he foretold, Jesus Christ, thy Son, our Lord. Amen. We return once again, friends, to Meditations for Lent, this edition published by Sheed and Ward in 1937, available free of charge at fisheaters.com, the excellent traditional Catholic website. I highly recommend heading over to Fish Eaters and checking out what they have there. Passion Tuesday by St. Thomas Aquinas, the burial of Christ. She hath wrought a good work upon me. She, in pouring this ointment upon me, hath done it for my burial. Matthew 26:10-12. It was right that Christ should be buried. 1. It proved that he had really died. No one is placed in the grave unless he is undeniably dead. And as we read in St. Mark, chapter 15, Pilate, before he gave leave for Christ to be buried, made careful inquiry to assure himself that Christ was dead. And I also know, friends, it's, I think, I'm not 100% sure about this, but I think Muslims might believe that Christ was somehow replaced by an imposter, and it was the imposter who died or something like that. People have some strange perspectives, some strange viewpoints on our Lord and his passion, his death, and his resurrection. Of course, the Muslims have respect for Jesus and believing that he was a prophet, but obviously not that he's our Lord and Savior. The Muslims believe that God is not a Trinity. Of course, we know the truth. God is most definitely a Trinity, a most holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. But our Lord actually died. And if he didn't come back from the dead, then our faith would be in vain. Our faith would be false. This is the focal point of our faith. This is the focal point of human existence. And God's plan of eternal salvation for all mankind, everything leading up to our Lord was preparation for his coming, and everything seen in light of his passion, death, and resurrection and ascension into heaven. What has played out for the last 2,000 years is an unfolding of his eternal plan, and the workings, the beauty, the wonder, and also the tragedies and the failures of those in the church, his one holy Catholic and apostolic church. Salvation history is a drama, and you know, it either ends in a comedy in the ancient Greek sense of the term, if the protagonist is victorious, or it's a tragedy if the protagonist fails. But that's each one of us, right? If we make it to heaven, then it is a divine comedy. If we end up in hell, it is a divine tragedy. Life is very serious business. People have some very bizarre beliefs nowadays. Why is that? Because we've strayed from the truth. We need to get back to traditional Catholicism. We need to get back to what worked. We need to get back to the traditional Latin Mass and divine liturgy. We need to get back to traditional forms of catechesis, evangelization, and apologetics. But Jesus truly died. You'll see some theories to the swoon theory that he was, you know, gravely injured, but he didn't actually die at this time. No, that's silly. That's utter nonsense. Our Lord was brutally, cruelly tortured and crucified. He died and he was buried. Number two, the very fact that Christ rose again from the grave gives a hope of rising again through him to all others who lie in their graves. As it says in the gospel, all that are in the grave shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. John verses 28 and 25. Excuse me, John 5 verses 28 and also verse 25 it's referencing. This gives us hope, friends. It gives us divine hope. There was a book by Dr. Edward Fraser, the eminent Catholic philosopher, called The Last Superstition, refuting the new atheism. Atheism is a very silly belief. The belief that God doesn't exist at all. It does not hold the universe in existence all at once. That time, matter, and space up and created itself ex nihilo. You want to talk about a truly bizarre belief. Excuse me, and isn't it a sad belief that to think when we die, we're just worm food, that's it, nothing else after that. Never see our family and friends again, just fade to black and there's nothing. What a sad, horrendous thing to believe. Maybe that's part of the reason why so many people are anxious and depressed in the world. Or just blindly pursuing wealth, pleasure, power, and fame because, you know, that's saying you only live once, so just live it up and do whatever feels good because when you die, the lights turn out and that's it. There's nothing. It's horrifying to believe something that false, and frankly, that's stupid. Our Lord gives us hope through his passion, his death, and his rising from the grave. because that's the truth. We're all going to end up in one of two places, heaven or hell. Want to make sure it's the former and not the latter, because the former is unending bliss and peace, joy surpassing all understanding. We can't even imagine how joyful heaven is, and it will last forever with all the angels and saints, and most especially the Most Holy Trinity. And then the flip side of that coin is unending pain, unending sadness, horror beyond anything you can imagine in hell for souls who die with unrepentant mortal sins on their soul. Number three, it was an example for those who by the death of Christ are spiritually dead to sin. For those, that is, who are hidden away from the turmoil of human affairs. So St. Paul says, you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Colossians 3:3. So too, those who are baptized, since by the death of Christ they die to sin, are, as it were, buried with Christ in their immersion. As St. Paul again says, we are buried together with Christ by baptism unto death, Romans 6:4. As the death of Christ efficiently wrought our salvation, so too is his burial effective for us. St. Jerome, for example, says, by the burial of Christ, we all rise again. And explaining the words of Isaiah 53:9, he shall give the ungodly for his burial. The gloss says, this means he shall give to God and the Father the nations lacking in filial devotion. For through his death and burial, he has obtained possession of them. The Psalm, and it's Psalm 87, verse 6, says, I am become as a man without help, free among the dead. Christ, by being buried, showed himself free among the dead indeed, for his being enclosed in the tomb was not allowed to hinder his coming forth in the resurrection. So ends the meditation. Nothing can stop our Lord, friends. Nothing can stop his plan for the eternal salvation of souls. Nothing can stop him from glorifying his heavenly Father. The Lord has a universal will for all souls. It's for everyone to be saved. As Dr. E. Michael Jones has said over and over and over again, God has a plan for your life. He also has a plan specifically for you. How you will work out your salvation in fear and trembling. There's a plan for your life. There's something that only you can do. You are utterly unique and special. That's not just a pie in the sky, happy talk thing you say to a second grader or something like that. That's true. God has something that only you can do in the whole history of the planet. Same goes for me and for everyone else who's listening to this, for everyone you will ever meet. That's why going against God's plan and committing sins is so grievous. It's so outrageous. Don't you want to be a part of God's plan for the church and the world? Don't you want to be a part of what he has set out for you since before the creation of the stars? It's time for all of us to get with the program in this society. I don't know where you are on your faith journey or your relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, but it's obvious. Should be obvious to you. It's obvious to me. The world is sick with sin. The only real problem the world has is the sin problem. Jesus came to solve the sin problem. He is our medicine. He is our Heavenly Father's remedy for sin. And through prayer, through the sacraments, we develop our relationship with him. Forgiven of our sins, of course, through baptism, and then when we commit sin through the sacrament of penance, also known as the sacrament of confession or reconciliation. We're forgiven of our sins. What a great grace. What a great blessing to be Catholic. And once again, I echo the words of Gilbert Keith Chesterton, the famous English Catholic convert, when asked, why did he become Catholic? He said, to have my sins forgiven. Don't let anything in this life dissuade you from what God's plan is for your life. And it doesn't involve sin. It doesn't involve living an objectively immoral lifestyle. It involves living a life of chastity, modesty, self-control, faith, hope, charity. God wants you to pursue what's true, what's good, and what's beautiful. And you can only find the fullness of that in the one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. So if you've been away from the faith and you're Catholic, come on back. Go to confession. Attend the traditional Latin Mass or Divine Liturgy. Read the Holy Bible. Get yourself a good catechism, one of the old ones, before Vatican II. Pray the rosary every single day. If you're not Catholic, you need to convert. I highly recommend getting online and finding the nearest Society of St. Pius X Chapel or Institute of Christ the King Sovereign Priest or Priestly Fraternity of St. Peter. A lot of good priests involved with those orders, but I recommend Society of St. Pius X, SSPX, first and foremost. That's the largest traditional order of Catholic priests in the world. Also going to recommend watching, I guess it premieres on YouTube, although there have been screenings in Chicago and Denver already, but Mass of the Ages, Part 3, the series of films about the traditional Latin Mass, is going to be on YouTube tonight at 8 o'clock Eastern Time. So check that out, Mass of the Ages, Part 3. I believe it's called Guardians of Tradition. The first two were excellent. I expect this one will be very good as well. So once again, a happy St. Joseph's Day to you. Let us conclude by once again mentioning Helping Autism through Learning and Outreach, available on the web at halo-soma.org. That's halo-soma.org. Also, please tune into episodes 277 and 548 of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast for more information pertaining to RPM. That is an acronym for Rapid Prompting Method, a system of communication for non-speakers. Before my niece was about 8 years old, we didn't even know her favorite color. Now we know she's a comprehensive genius, thanks to God's grace, her hard work, and that of her family breaking through to open communication via RPM. It has been as massive a breakthrough in terms of being able to communicate as sign language was for the deaf, or you can also point to Braille in terms of being able to read for the blind. Communication is a human right. RPM is taking people out of the prison of silence that they're in, getting them into the world of open communication where they rightfully belong. And I can tell you firsthand that I've had the privilege of knowing some non-speakers who now communicate via RPM, and they're some of the most kind, compassionate, and intelligent people you could ever meet. So please get that information out there. Thank you so much for doing so. And thank you so much for listening to this episode of the Our Lady of Fatima podcast. Please say an Ave Maria for yours truly, and I will talk to you again very soon. Goodbye, and God love you.